Alrighty, so we've been talking about the bride, the army, the body, the family, working our way through that. I thought if I'm going to be away for a year, I better share with you the core values and just sort of lay the foundation again, make sure it's fresh in your mind, because I won't get to talk about it for a while. So we've been talking about that, and I love talking about the bride because it's all about intimacy, isn't it, with the Father, and everything flows out of that. Intimacy with the Father. And I did actually really enjoy preaching there a few weeks ago when we just talked on that little verse, He loved us first. And you know, as I was sharing that with you and preparing it, I got real revelation in my own heart about just all that flows out of that. You know, He loved me first. I didn't have to do anything. Before I was born, He loved me. And I'm just, you know, I've always known that Psalm 139. It's always encouraged me. I've read it many times. But as I prepared that message and just shared with you from that little verse, it really did something fresh in my life, just in awareness of God's love for me, even before I do anything to deserve it. And so His love is based upon, you know, His character, you know, but also the fact that I belong to Him, and, you know, He just values me so much before I can do anything wrong or right. Because we did look at that in that message. We looked, you know, before you can do anything wrong or right, but even when you do something wrong, His love is there and consistent for us. So, you know, that really did speak to me. And I love that whole thought of the church as a bride, that when I get busy doing stuff, you know, it's good to just keep checking back and saying, you know what, we're about being the bride first, and that we really need to just be experiencing Him and be aware of His love and just loving Him back and make sure everything flows out of love. And the others really fit in with that, don't they? Because the church is an army. Again, it always needs a bit of explanation, because the whole idea of an army, you know, gives a few different contexts, and some of that is not positive, especially in our world today. But we think about the church as an army. It really is just saying we've got a commander who is, you know, a really wise and brilliant commander who is understands the principle of battle and actually went out and won the battle for us, and now is taking us into, you know, leading us in, I guess, as an army to take the ground that has already been won for us. Do you know what I mean? He went before us and behind us. A few verses say that, and I really love that picture as well, that concept as well, that He went before us and He's behind us. So He's kind of got us covered. And so the church as an army is really about that, and about the authority that He's given to us, so that when we go out with His banner, with His name, you know, with His with the authority that He has given to us. And so we talked about that. So then the church as a body, again, I love this one too, because the first point I want to make this morning is that every part has value. Every part is important, from the youngest to the oldest, and it's something we talk about a bit. But the church as a body just gives that picture. So I want to just look at Ephesians 1:23, just a few scriptures and 3 points this morning that I want to make on this theme of the church as the body. And Ephesians 1:23, it's pretty simple scripture, but it does make the point, just so that we know this is a biblical concept. As we think about it, it is a biblical concept. It just says, and the whole book of Ephesians really does have woven through it it's Paul instructing the church at Ephesus, and he's really bringing in this picture of the church as a body, but he's also very much talking about the church and Christ as the head of the church. And so the word church isn't mentioned so often, but the concept of the church is very much taught in this book of Ephesians. And right at the beginning, he says, I pray for you that you'd have revelation of who you are and what God wants for you, etc. At the end of this chapter, he says, and the church is His body. So the verse before says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ, made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. So He's head of the church. And the church is His body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself. That's the New Living Translation. The church is His body. Makes that statement. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself. In my notes, I've just drawn two little arrows, and I've put the first thing is that Christ is the head. And I want to talk about that for a moment, because we think about the head, and sometimes, again, like the picture of an army, we can get different ideas about what that word army means. But we need to also make sure we understand in at least an accurate, fairly accurate way what it means for something to be the head. because we can have an idea that if something's ahead, well, then it's like it's the boss, you know, like if he's the boss, he's the head, he's the boss, and he's just whatever he says goes, and that's just kind of it. And we have so many different experiences in our life and in our world of that kind of head, that kind of boss, that we get a tainted view. But if you think about the body, and Paul, later on, we'll just look at a little passage that just talks about how this idea of Christ being the head of the body is really an analogy of the physical body. So we can think about the physical body. The head in relation to the physical body, what does it do? Well, the head, it really totally always has the interests of the body at heart. Is that right? The head in one way is part of the body, but the head directs the body. Everything flows out of the head. And I often say to you, I'm no doctor, but you know what I do understand is the head's pretty important. Is that right? Would everyone agree with that before we get too far this morning? The head's pretty important, and really everything flows out of the head. You know, all the signals for the body to either protect itself or to do something really have to be driven from the head. And so it's such an important part. So for Jesus to be the head of the body, he's totally committed to the well-being of the body, looking to steer and to direct and to nourish and to protect. I think about that. I think that sometimes the body goes to do something, you know, a little crazy. Say you're in a busy street and you go to cross the street and it's an inappropriate moment. The head sends a quick signal to the feet and says, stop, you know, back away. Don't step. Don't take that step. Or just whatever. I guess the head is sending signals for the body to eat and to be nourished when it's hungry, because we think it's the stomach crying out to be hungry. And yeah, sometimes that's where the noise comes from. But you know, the head is really directing the body and sending signals to the body to say, you know, you need to be nourished. There's something missing. And so constantly the relationship, the interaction between the head and the body is the head wanting to protect and to nourish and to always look out for the interests of the body at all time. Is that right? It's not like this authoritative, dictatorial head. Again, we could pause for a moment, as we've done a few times through this series, because in one really significant passage in Ephesians 5, where we draw the analogy of the church as a bride, and we can also see the picture of the church as a body, woven through that is the idea of some instruction for husbands and wives. And I always steer a little bit clear of the instructions that the wives are given, and often don't mind emphasizing the instructions the husbands are given, because one, I can speak from experience, and two, it's more popular to do that. But if you talk about the head, you know, even in that picture, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And it goes on to talk about how he's the head of the church in that passage. And so husbands often can get the idea that the head is not the really good side of being a head. And they kind of feel like sometimes, well, I'm the head of the home, or I'm the head of whatever. And that can be really interpreted in a wrong way and in a harmful way. And so, but if they understand that the head in relationship to the body is always looking out to nourish the body and protect the body and to look out for the interests of the body and to make the body healthy and able to do all that it's purposed and designed to do, that's really the objective of the head, isn't it? That actually that's a pretty good bit of instruction for husbands too, isn't it? And I notice I'm looking at this side and not over this side, just in, as I mention that, all right? I will just glance over in an act of courage and see if she's still with me, okay, to see how whether I've failed totally in that doing that. But you know, it's not about even succeeding, but it's understanding, isn't it, what the objective is and what is the healthy and right way to do it. And so it's the whole idea of a head is not some, you know, authoritative, dictatorial, you know, figure trying to prove who they are, you know, whatever. And God is not like that. When God calls himself the head of the body, the head of the church, is not like, well, you just do what I say or else. In fact, very much his vocabulary is not about punishment. Even the commands are not really about, they're not a vocabulary about punishment, like do this or else. It's very much about, I just really want the best for you, and this is the instructions that I would send to you. This is the signals that I would give to you, because what I want for you is to follow those instructions and those plans, because if you do, life will work well for you, and actually life will work well for those around you. So even the commands of how, you know, thou shalt, they're actually flowing out of the heart of the head that really wants the body to be all, to be nourished and complete and all that it can be. Do you think that's not a bad picture to have? And so, you know, we're the body, the church is the body, and the head, the bride and the bridegroom, the body, the head, is helpful to understand really what that is all about. The head is the part of the body that really is looking out for the body in every way. And that passage I referred to in Ephesians 5 says things like this, which I often say, but he gave himself for her, that he cherishes and nourishes her, that he washes her with his word. And I think I may have even shared that last week with you. So the picture of the church is his body, it says in Ephesians 1:23. It gave us, in the verse before, it talked about him being head of all things to the body. And then in that verse 23, it says that the body is made full, the church, the body is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So when you think of him, think of the one who actually wants to, and his objective and his purpose and his actions are that we might be made full and complete by him, that the church might be and that we might be a beautiful picture, who fills himself or fills all things everywhere with himself. So that's the first point, that every part has value. Every part of the body is important, from the youngest to the oldest, every part, from the most obvious and seemingly significant part to the most invisible and unknown part of the body. Every part is important in the natural body, but also in this picture or analogy that we're painting about the church. Every one of us are important. And I love that too, because as we get to talk about family, you know, the whole generation thing, isn't it? From youngest to oldest, they all contribute to family and make family beautifully rich. The second point that I want to make this morning is that every part has a purpose or a function, has a ministry or a service. And when we used to do our leadership schools in this region, we used to, over a number of Saturdays, once a month, have a leadership school, and different people would come from around, some of you participated in those, but people would come from around the region, and we would meet in a location. I think a lot of times it was Griffith or Leeton, and we would have different themes. And the theme that I was given through, there was 10 subjects altogether, and we'd have different pastors from around the region were given a subject, and at the beginning of the year, they would often give me the subject, Every Believer Ministry. And I was always delighted when they gave me that for two reasons. One, I already had the notes and I'd already done it before, so it was nice and easy to do. But the second thing, and probably the most important thing, was that it was just something dear to my heart. And I guess that's why, you know, they gave me that particular theme. But Every Believer Ministry, the fact that every one of us, you know, have a part to play. Every one of us have a ministry, and ministry really is service. And we talk about this a lot, but I don't mind, you know, reiterating it again this morning. So the church is a body. Every part has value, but every part has a role. You know, when I was preparing this, I thought, look, I've got to be pretty tight this morning. And I thought, wonder if those two points fit together. And actually, as I thought that through, I thought, no, actually, they absolutely don't fit together, because our value and our worth is nothing to do with our role that we play. And that's probably what I want to emphasize now in this second point, that actually those two things don't fit together. Every part has value. And I wrote down here, you know, it's a separate point totally, because our worth is in our belonging, not in our function or our ministry or our service. Is that right? So we belong to the body, and that's what gives us worth. And you have a certain function and a role, and you have a certain function and role, and I have a certain function and role. And just like in the natural body, every part has a different part, and some are more visible, you know. Some seem to be the ones that, you know, that are you most notice if they're hurting or whatever, but every part is important. Some parts we don't even know about, really. We kind of hear about it, but we've never seen it, because it's, you know, deep inside of us somewhere, and we read in a book what its function is, and you go to the doctor and say, where does this pain come from? And the doctor says, well, that's this part, which you wouldn't even know what it looks like. You don't even know, you know, because you've never seen it. And yet you begin to learn how important it is as you read about it, or as you find out what happens when it's not functioning 100%. And so it's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of the body, and how every part has a function or a purpose. Every one of us have a ministry or an area of service. And it's not just about doing stuff, but we belong and we make a contribution that is a valuable contribution to the function and the purpose of the body. And so a couple of quick verses, Ephesians 5, verse 29 and 30. Didn't Alex do a great job this morning? I know he's got a quiet voice and you had to listen really well, but you know, I just love talking to Alex. There's so much richness in there, and I was so glad when he came and said he was ready to share a communion. And then what happened was we had him on the roster, and I messed the roster up and I missed the day that he was on, and so I was really looking forward to having him come up today. So I apologized for that, but then was really looking forward to having him share today, and I really appreciated the points that he brought out and just sharing from his own story. So I hope you could pick up, you know, what he said. But thank you, Alex, for sharing with us, and really appreciate your heart. I've had many little chats with Alex, and just his heart to do what God wants to do in his life, and he brought that out in one of his points today, wasn't it? Just to live in the moment and to just be ready to do what, you know, what God wants, to go where God leads. What a profound place to come in our heart, in our relationship with Him, and certainly as part of the body, and recognizing that that every part has value and is an important contribution, and we look to understand that and be faithful to that. You know, it's a real victory, it's a real freedom in our life when we learn not to think, well, those things are more important. If I could just be that person or that thing, you know, that would make me more valuable in my contribution to the body. When we understand that's not the case, and we get free of that kind of thinking, then it really brings liberty and freedom to us to know that, you know, it's whatever God wants me to do, it's wherever I fit into the body, whether it's visible or obscure. You know, there are challenges in both. You know, there's challenges in having a role that might be more visible, and there's a challenge in having roles that might seem less visible. Both have challenges associated with them in terms of just processing the value and the worth and the contribution and the significance of each of those roles. But here it says in Ephesians 5:29 and 30, it says, no one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. Again, very simple, but just want you to see the biblical foundation of this analogy that I'm drawing out today, that we are his body, the church is his body, and that we are members of his body. And so each one of us have a part to play, just like parts of a body have a part to play. So we are members of his body, and that's what gives us significance, that we're members of his body. And then out of that flows the idea that we have a part to play, and that every part is important, no matter how big or small, seemingly big or small, or how visible or invisible it might be. We want to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and again, a really familiar passage, and all I really have to do is read this to you. I will make a couple of comments, but really we'll just read it through this morning and let it speak for yourself, for itself. Because this is Paul just unpacking this picture of the church as a body, and really emphasizing the idea that every part is important, and that no one is more valuable than another. We've looked at it many times, but I want to read it again this morning. From the New Living Translation, it's going to be 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12 to 27. If you want to have a look at it, you know, go home and look at this a bit more clearly and just let it speak to you about where you fit into things. If ever you feel like, you know, where do I fit? You know, how come I never get those opportunities or whatever? I mean, God's much bigger than leaders. God's much bigger than us. And if he's got a role for you and somewhere where he wants you to play, and we in our humanity and our weakness miss that, well, God is bigger than us, isn't he? And I apologize if that's ever happened to you, but you know, this is what I know, is that as we do our best, God is bigger than us, and he will make room for you wherever he wants you to be. And the dialogue is really that to have is to have it with him and say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you holding me back for? What are you taking me through? But I'm here and I'm ready and I'm willing. You know, where do you want to fit me in? And God will do that, because he's the one who does that. He's the one who places us in the body. He's the one who gives us you know, our place. And so I'll just read this to you, 1 Corinthians 12 to 27. It's headed up in this particular Bible, the New Living Translation. The church is one body with many parts. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So if one part is not functioning, and we don't ever have to feel the weight of burden or guilt and shame on this, but we can feel inspired by the fact that if we don't function in the body the way that God purposed to do, then something's missing, isn't it? If one of our body parts is not doing what it's meant to do, then in some ways there is a lack. And sometimes in my conversations with people, I say, you know, you just don't value what you bring. I never say it harshly, so please understand, but we'll have a conversation and say, you know, you don't value what you bring. You don't value the part that you play as you just do what God has given you to do. But here it's saying the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. Again, just talking about, our social standing or our nationality, and you could list all the things that sometimes become discriminating factors, but really it's saying there's no discrimination, there's no human factor that decides, but we all have a part to play. And we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yet the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary, and the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together. Who has? God has. God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Isn't that a beautiful passage? And you know, he pulls up, and you've heard me say this before, and I'll be brief and just highlighting these couple of thoughts. But I think Paul almost insultingly labours the specific points about what if one part said to the other part. And he really covers it in two angles. The first one, he says, well, what if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand. Well, really what he's saying is if you're looking at the other parts of the body and you're saying, if only I was like those parts of the body, I'd be more valuable, I'd have more worth. And he's saying, can the body do that in the natural? So then why do you look at others and say, well, how come they have more value, or I feel like they have more value, in their role or in their function? And so we look at other functions and other roles and we say, well, you know, now sometimes, I've just got to qualify and say, sometimes we look at other ministries and functions and we feel inspired by that, and that's because often God is stirring something in our heart that maybe He's calling in us into those areas, and so He gives us desire. Sometimes He takes us through certain roles to prepare us and equip us, and it's not where we kind of spend our whole life, but, and this is where the analogy of the body perhaps breaks down a little bit, is that we can be one part of the body, but then what He will do is He will then develop us through that process into where we fulfill another role or another function. And so, you know, sometimes it is good to look and say, wow, you know, that's, I'd love to be able to preach like Jeremy or whatever. And so then when we do that, there's a desire that's stirring in our heart. It's okay if it's based upon inspiration to something that might be stirring in our own heart. But it's not okay if I'm looking and saying, if only I was like that. You know, I don't make a contribution. What I contribute is not valuable because if only I was like that other person. That's what Paul's addressing. So really what he's saying, if I had to sum it up in one sentence, and perhaps you're thinking I should have, would be that not to look at the other person and undervalue your own ministry. But then what he does, he comes to the other side of the equation. Again, almost insultingly, he says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And so what it's saying is don't look at the other ministry and undervalue the other ministry. So we can look at other ministries and undervalue our own. Don't do that. We can look at other ministries and we can undervalue the other ministry. You know, well, and this one just kind of, I totally don't get this at all. But, you know, Paul's saying you can look at someone else and you can say, well, you know, I'm better than that person, you know, because this is what I do. I'm fulfilling a far more significant role. Well, he's saying that kind of attitude is not really a body attitude. That kind of relationship is not a body relationship. But, you know, here is the head who just loves and dotes on the body. And when the signals come from the body that there's pain somewhere, the head, you know, signals to everything else, you know, to do whatever's necessary to protect that part so it can be nurtured back to health. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's the head. And then the parts of the body, they're watching out for each other and they're not looking and saying, well, I wish I was like that because then I'd be somebody. Or, you know, I'm glad I'm not like that because I'm really somebody already and they're not. Don't have any of those attitudes, but look and say, well, you know, each part is important and I'm so glad that that other part is part of the body and is healthy, because when it's healthy, I'm healthy. When it's without pain, then I'm without pain. And so this whole body thing is just looking out for each other and protecting each other and nurturing each other and celebrating each other's victories. You know, I think, you know, this is just a really small example, but say when we stop in the service and one of the things that we pray for, there's so many things we could pray about when we gather together. And one of the things we choose to focus on is if we've got people who've gone out for the day, you know, to do ministry somewhere, well, then what we look for is we look for them to be covered by the body, and we pray for them and celebrate that they're out doing ministry. Is that right? And so even today we prayed for a few people who are out doing ministry, and we're just excited. We want to hear good reports that when they went to do what they did, that they actually did well and they were able to make a contribution. And when they do that, we celebrate, don't we? Is that right? Because they're part of us. And that's why I guess we choose to highlight those things, not because, well, we're out doing something and they belong to us, but really we want to celebrate when the body is succeeding and doing something well, then we're really pleased about that. And so this is what Paul brings out. And so if you want to look it up later and have a think about it a bit more, again, as I said, if you struggle with some of these things, you know, read through and just say, Lord, just show me, where do I fit in? How do I value what I do? Then 1 Corinthians 12:12, remember that. 1 Corinthians 12:12, that's the starting point. And look it up and just have a read and see what he has to say. So every part has value or is important, from the youngest to the oldest. Every part has a purpose or a function. You know, a ministry or a service, every believer ministry is what we encourage and believe in. And the last part is every part fulfilling their role leads to a healthy body. We've covered this a little bit, but I just want to look at the idea of unity and love really flowing in the body, unity and love. Psalm 133 just says this, again, a fairly familiar verse perhaps to many. Psalm 133 just talks about this idea of unity. We won't unpack it all, but we'll just read it. It says, how wonderful and pleasant it is for brothers. Some translations just say brethren, but it's meaning brothers and sisters. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brethren live together in harmony or in unity. Again, some translations say unity. For harmony is as precious as anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's beard, that ran Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony or unity is refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. There's a little bit to explain with the whole Aaron's beard and Aaron's head and the anointing and the dew on Mount Hermon. Those pictures, if you understand the full context of those, do unpack this verse a little bit. We don't have time for that today. But right at the beginning, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in harmony. And the last part of verse 3 says, there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life forevermore, or life everlasting. Again, another translation, older translation says, there the Lord commands his blessing. In the place where there is unity, where there is people working together like a body, when people are functioning, valuing each other and appreciating and valuing their own role and working together, there's not only is it beautiful, what does it say? Not only is it wonderful and pleasant, you know, it's pleasant for those involved, it's pleasant for those who look on. I think when our community looks on and sees our church community, seven churches in town. I love it when just this week when I was away and those two guys who were assistants to the to the health minister, had a bit of a chat while we're walking along, and they're saying, what do you do and where are you and whatever. And so I was telling them about in Narendra, we have 7 churches and we all relate so well together, because they were asking like, oh, so what's your church like? And, well, you know, it's always hard to answer that in one sense, because you wonder how much information do they really want. And then, but as you talk, they say, well, how does that fit into the whole scheme of churches in the community? And so I was really delighted to say, we have 7 churches in town and we work together. And there's things that we're able to do in our community because we have that relationship together. And how, as a community look on, you know, it's something that, you know, is actually a really positive thing. So we haven't perfected it yet, but, you know, there is this sense of oneness and unity. And I believe there, not only does it actually look pleasant, what is the first bit again? It's pleasant and something. It's wonderful and pleasant. It is pleasant, isn't it? When you see unity in action, it's just pleasant. It's just beautiful. It's just nice. And you could talk about the opposite, but we won't worry about that because, you know, it's something wonderful and pleasant. But, you know, more than that, God commands his blessing on it. God has pronounced his blessing. He's commanded his blessing. And I think there are many good things happen in this community. This might be a bit bold to say, but I think we agree with this, that some good things happen in our community. And sometimes some of the difficult things, we get through them because our church community is to a great degree working in unity, and there's a degree of blessing that's commanded upon our community because of that. Now, we desire to see that grow and we love to see that happen more, but I believe there's an element where it's not just about what we do, but there's something of the favor of God and the blessing of God on when we work together. And when we do that as a church, and when we do that as a family of CRC churches in the region, when we do that as, you know, I don't know, the wider church body, wherever you want to look at it, where that's happening and we're working together and we're, you know, agreeing together. It's not about agreeing on everything, because it's not about that. One of the things I love about our church community in Narendra is, you know, we don't have to all agree on everything. We can stay true to who we are, but we can respect the things about each other that we know and value and agree in terms of, you know, what God wants for our community and for our world. And so it's not about agreeing on everything. It's not about compromise to the point where you lose your, you know, your impact or your potency as a church in the community. But what happens is, it is something that's beautiful, and it is something that does attract the blessing, the commanded blessing of God. So that's a good thing. Every part fulfilling their role brings a healthy body. Unity in the context of the wider church, I just wrote down here 2 things. The wider body, which I just spoke about, and then obviously within our own body. Shortly, I'm going to finish and we're going to have our AGM. And as I've said to you, I'm looking forward to just being accountable and presenting some things. But one of the things we'll do is we'll introduce, you know, people that hold leadership roles. We do have to endorse some of those, and we'll present those and we'll pray for the leadership team. But as we do that, you know, as I've prepared that and looked at that, I thought, wow, so many people make a contribution. And then you think beyond, you know, those leadership teams to the teams of people that work with each of those leaders. And then you look at all the different areas of ministry that happen within the town, within the church, and within the community, and you just shake your head and say, wow, you know, that's the body at work. And I know we're often looking to make sure that we continue to keep our mind on that and to see that grow and develop and be better facilitators of God's purpose in every life, so to speak, because that's really body. But I've written down here, you know, when we come to our AGM, it moves me to think about our giving, what we can do together through our giving, through our serving, through our learning and growing together, through worshiping together, through supporting each other and different things that we do together, through sometimes the suffering, supporting each other in the suffering that we face. And I didn't have time for it, so I crossed it off this morning, but there's a verse in Colossians 1:24 that just talks about how we're the body of Christ, and so we continue the suffering which he began, etc. And I won't go into that. We'll talk about that another time. But as we face the challenges together, you know, facilitating God's purpose in every life, there's something beautiful about the body at work. Even with my extended leave that I'm taking at the end of the month, you know what I'm excited about is just the body at work, and just as things have come into place, and just knowing that that's the body at work. And so I thank God for that. And so the church is a body. Every part has value. Every part has a purpose and a function. Every part has a ministry. Every person has a ministry and a service. And as we offer ourselves to that and search that out, God loves, you know, revealing that to us and leading us into the part that we play. And we're not the body as individuals, but we're the body when we're together. You know, we're not even the bride as individuals. People say, well, you don't need the church. I just love God and, you know, whatever. But really, that's so opposite to all of these things, because even the church is a bride. We're the bride when we're together. We're the bride when we, you know, His church is the bride, not individuals are the bride. He cares about individuals and values individuals, but this is a corporate picture of who we are when we come together. You know, we are His bride. He loves His bride and He washes His bride. Every part has a purpose and a function, a ministry and a service, and every part fulfilling their role makes for a healthy body. Unity and love are so important in that whole process. Love for God, because He loved us first, loving one another, and loving the world, reaching out into the world. So bless you, leave that with you.